Dr. Mitchell, who's going to come and preach for us this morning. We've got something special this morning from God. So, Dot, over to you.
Hi. Praise God. Isn't this a wonderful day, spring day? And, you know, the most exciting news is that you are anointed.
Amen.
Pastor Colin was here last week, and he spoke to us about honoring the anointing. And today I just want to carry that on a bit further and talk about honoring the anointing within us, yes. Honoring the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. And I just feel so excited this morning because God has, we have an awesome God on the inside of us.
Yes?
Amen. I want a bit of excitement. Yes? You have an awesome God on the inside of you. If you know Jesus, if you've given him your life, if you're born again, you have been anointed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's anointed you with his Spirit. He's placed his Spirit on the inside of you. And the anointing within you, he wants to flow out of you.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
Now, I just want to start. Will you get your Bibles, your sword, and turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. This is the most exciting scripture. I bet you've never noticed it before. It's just hidden in chapter 1. And it's verse 21. You all got it?
Yes.
If you didn't bring your sword today, you should have it with you. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. Isn't that incredible? Does that get you excited on the inside? It is God who makes both us and you stand firm.
Amen.
Stand
Amen.
Firm in Christ.
Yes.
You know, we're talking a lot about the end times right now in this church where we know that we're in the end times. We know that darkness is coming on the earth, that we've got to be a people that are prepared. And this is the most encouraging scripture. It's God who's going to make us, all of us, stand firm in Christ. We don't need to waver, no matter what comes at us, from the world, from the economy, whatever happens. We don't need to waver one iota, because the God that is within us is going to make us stand firm. He anointed us. He anointed us. He anointed us from on high with his Spirit. When we gave our lives to Jesus, he anointed us from on high by his Spirit. He set his seal of ownership on us. I love that. I love the fact that he has placed a mark on us that's invisible to the naked eye, but I tell you what, principalities and powers know it's there.
Amen.
Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
That the deposit of the treasure within you, of God setting his seal of ownership on you, that is incredible. God owns your life. He owns your life. It's somewhere Paul says you don't any longer belong to yourself. That's why we're to worship God in our bodies, because we don't own ourselves anymore. God owns us. He's placed his seal of ownership on us,
yes.
Which means that when things get really tough, the enemy knows that you belong to God.
Amen.
And all the angels know it. That's why they're swirling around right now.
That's right.
They're here right now, just acclaiming you and egging you on. And he anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come.
Yes.
It's like, you put a deposit on a house or on anything, you pay for it, and then you know that that's your guarantee that the rest is to follow. The rest is going to come when we get to glory, well, when Jesus comes again. But there's so much more. Yes. And that's what we were singing about today. There is so much more.
Amen.
Now, in Pastor Collins written a version of the Bible, which is called The Truth. And I loved it because I was just comparing passages today. And he says, so does God, who enables both us and you to stand firm in Christ. For he himself anointed each of us personally. You know, he carefully selected you out of all the people in this earth. He selected you. He chose you for his purpose. He thus set his seal of ownership upon us by placing his own spirit in our hearts. This wonderful deposit that we have received, this Holy Spirit, from him is a guarantee of what is to come, which will be our full inheritance when we would see him face to face, when
yes.
we know him
yes.
as we truly will. That's the glory we were singing about today. And then the New Living Translation, it says, it is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. For Christ. Interesting. He has commissioned us. Isn't that amazing? And he's identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us.
Yes.
Now, if you're not jumping up and down in your seats, you should be. Holy Spirit, give them this revelation.
Amen.
Give them this revelation
Amen.
Right now.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Bring us, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation right now. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts, God,
yes,
that
God.
We will leave this place completely different.
Yes, Jesus.
Completely knowing
yes.
the treasure within us. And then 1 John 2:20 and 27 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and
yes.
all of you know the truth.
Yes.
So this is just confirming that you have an anointing.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we look at great people like Benny Hinn and Les Mitchell and... Yay! And we think, they're so anointed. But do you know that you are so anointed?
Amen.
It's just what we do with this anointing that's within us.
Amen.
And he says, the Holy One, Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you, the Holy One.
Amen.
And then in the truth it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, God himself. So all of you know and experience the truth for yourselves.
Yes.
So, you know, there's no excuse for not knowing God.
Hallelujah.
There's no excuse. You have the truth on the inside
Hallelujah.
Of you. And then later on in 1 John 2:27 and 28, it says, remember the anointing you've already received from him continues to live in you.
Yes.
So you do not need anyone to teach you where the truth lies, for the anointing of the Spirit teaches you about all these things. The anointing of truth is real. It's not like the counterfeit work of the enemy. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned, especially with the days that are coming with the deception and all of that. You don't have to be concerned. The anointing of truth is real. It's not like the counterfeit work of the enemy. So just as the Spirit of truth has already taught you, continue to live in him who is the truth. Isn't that amazing? Christ Jesus, your Lord. Therefore, dear children, continue to live in him so that when he comes again, you may stand with confidence before him, unashamed of anything in your life that his penetrating light will then reveal. Amazing. And the New Living Translation says, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. That doesn't mean that you've got to be independent and completely unsubmitted to anyone. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true, it's not a lie. So just as he's taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Isn't that amazing? So how? How would you imagine that we remain in fellowship with Christ? Any answers? That's a serious question. Huh? Yeah, read the word. Well, I think now we're going to go to John 15. My favorite passage in all of Scripture. Well, not completely the only one, but one of the favorites. John 15, got it? I am the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Wow. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. And, you know, that's why you've been chosen for the kingdom. You are aware of that, aren't you? That you've been chosen for maximum fruitfulness. Maximum fruitfulness. Isn't that incredible? You've been chosen, commissioned by God, set with his seal of ownership on you, for his purpose to be fruitful. That is what why God planned you, chose you. So he is the gardener, and he's watching your life right now. And lots of people are going through discipline, you know. Lots of us do. It's horrible business. But when the gardener recognizes that we've been doing some pruning in our garden, actually, and when the tree gets a bit straggly, he cuts off the branches. And it feels terribly, ow! In South Africa, we used to say, ana. That's sort of like, that's really painful. But that's what God does. He brings the pruning knife. And sometimes we rebuke the devil because we think, this can't be God. And God's saying, no, I'm watching over your life. I am going to make maximum fruitfulness out of your life. And so there's a kind of yielding to the hand of God in our lives when these things happen. And that's why we need to be so connected with Jesus, so that we know what he's doing in our lives. You know, there's seasons in our lives. There's seasons when he says, okay, this is the pruning time. This is spring. Do you prune in spring? No, you don't. You prune in autumn. So whatever the season is, we need to be perceptive in the spirit to know what's going on so that we can understand the things that God's doing. And then he says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Simple. Isn't that easy? We have been placed in Christ. When you got saved, you were placed in Christ, in God, far above all principalities and powers. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. The Rafi students should be saying, amen, amen, amen. They know all this stuff. They really know it, don't you? You know it like revelation in your spirit. And so you have been placed in Christ. And so he says, you are in me, but he wants to remain in you. And it's a two-way thing. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory, and it's me in Christ. And so there's this double whammy, this double safety, this double security that I'm in Christ and he's in me. And he says, remain that way. And he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It's amazing. We cut some branches yesterday, and it doesn't take long in the sunshine for a branch to get completely shriveled up in the heat because it's not remaining in the vine. And you know, a lot of us get saved, and we're walking with God, and we maybe know these truths, but you know, we need to remain there. We need to remain in Christ. We need to remain connected to the vine, connected to him. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, there's another version, because I just thought, you know, in the old Bibles it used to say, abide in me, and nobody really knew what that meant. But remain in me. Colin's got a lovely version here. He says, stay living in me, and I will continue to live in you. Just simple like that. Just stay living in me. It's impossible for any branch to be fruitful if it's separated from the vine. It has to continue to live in the vine, has to remain connected. Anyone who continues to live in me and I in him will be abundantly fruitful. There's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's amazing. You will be abundantly fruitful in the kingdom if you remain in him. Anyone who continues to live in me and I in him will be abundantly fruitful, but outside of me, you can do absolutely nothing. And I used to read that when I was a bit younger and think, but that's not true. I can do a lot, actually. You know what I mean? I don't need to have prayed before I go out to do a lot. I can get a lot done. But God says the only things that are worthwhile in the kingdom, the only things that are worthwhile in the spirit are what you do in me. It's only when you're remaining in me that there is any fruit that he looks for. For anyone who does not continue to live at one with me, at one. You know, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And it's like a branch that is thrown away and so withers. If you continue to live at one with me and my words continue to live in you,
You can ask for anything you want, and it'll be given you. Isn't that the most incredible passage? Jesus says to you today, if you remain in me, and my words, my living word, the Bible, the words of the living word remain in you, you can ask me whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Isn't that incredible? Now, do you think most of us are in that place of living in Christ, continually living there? You see, we're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a continual battle. There's the enemy, and there's our flesh. And I remember one time before, I think it was here, where we got three people up, and one was the spirit, and one was the soul, and one was the body. Should we do it? Yeah, should we do it? Philippe, you're great. And Dylan. And Bavik, please come. Are we doing okay?
Please.
Okay, you could be the spirit. You could be the soul. Yes, you can be the body, the actual body. Okay? So this is this wonderful guy called Dylan, okay? Because he's got the body. So Dylan, you know what I mean. Okay, so Dylan is walking along. He doesn't have the spirits. Will you sink to your knees, please? The spirit is not alive, okay? So if anybody has any crazy ideas that because they were in the Anglican Church all their lives and they got confirmed and all of that, that they are saved, it's not true. Because unless you're born again, your spirit is dead, okay? But Dylan meets Sarah, and Sarah says to him, I want you to know Jesus. And she leads him to the Lord, and so she prays for him, and he gives his life to the Lord. And all that wonderful stuff happens. He is anointed. God sets his seal of ownership on him. I sometimes think it's like a cross on his forehead. That this man belongs to me now. He sets a seal of ownership on him. He puts his spirit in his life. He said, this is the man now that's born again, spirit-filled. Okay. Now, this is the soul of Bavik. Sorry, chap. And the soul is actually... it's all right. God gave it to us. It's our personality. It's our emotions. It's our mind. It's our will. All of that stuff. Okay? It's good. God gave it to us. And what God wants is for this guy, Phil, the spirit, to be in control of all of these things. So God still wants us to enjoy beauty. He still wants us to enjoy music and creativity. He gave us those things. But he wants the spirit to be in control. Okay? And then... Dylan is a great guy. So he gets saved, and it's wonderful, and he loves the Lord, and so he's starting to feed the Spirit with the Word and with prayer, communication with God. He gets bigger and bigger, and the soul comes under, beautifully, under the control. It doesn't disappear, but it just comes under the control of the Spirit, okay? And then, Dylan gets tired, and he doesn't have time to pray, and he's aware of God, but not that aware of God. And so then his spirit man then starts to die a little bit, just go down, and the soul comes up. And so then he starts feeding the soul with lots of newspapers and books and you know, all kinds of fleshy stuff. And not that it's wrong to read the newspaper, but you know what I mean? In balance. And the soul is in charge. And then Dylan finds himself reacting in anger against people. And, you know, a month ago when he was still having the honeymoon with Jesus, he didn't react, but now he does. And his flesh rises up and he thinks, oh, gosh, and I swore just then, and I thought that I would never swear again now that I'm a Christian. And then the Holy Spirit says to him, but who are you hanging out with? And what movies are you watching? And what books are you reading? And so that's why what comes out of your life now is muddy waters. It's not pure. It's not clean. It's not shining. It's not Jesus anymore. And so then he Pastor Les grabs hold of him and says, Dylan, start reading the word. And the soul goes down. Do you see what I'm saying? Thank you, guys. Let's give them a... And so what I'm saying is that we really need to, on a daily basis, feed the Spirit in us. Because otherwise, he just, like that little flower, just starts to die. And I think that's what I really want to encourage you with, is just remaining connected. You know, if Jesus needed to spend so much time in prayer, Jesus did. He spent whole nights in prayer. He was the anointed Son of God, but he needed to spend nights in prayer. And, you know, before he made any decision, in Mark 1:32, we read about in Mark 1 where there was almost a revival meeting going on in Capernaum. And all these people were getting healed and saved and set free. It was amazing. And I'm sure that the disciples said to him, come on, we're going to have a revival here. It's great. Let's carry on with these meetings. And they couldn't find him in the morning. And they found him up the mountain. He'd been spending the whole night with God, just hanging out with his Father because he loved to be with him. And I guess he needed to know what was happening, because it says that Jesus never said anything that his Father didn't say. He didn't do anything that he hadn't seen his Father do. Now, that kind of communication, that kind of communion with God doesn't come cheaply. That only comes when you hang out with God and you begin to know his Spirit, begin to understand the Word and understand his Spirit. And another time was in Luke 6:12, where again, Jesus disappeared for a whole night. And that was when he commissioned his disciples. So, you know, he didn't just sort of have the blueprint of what he was going to do on earth before he came down from heaven, from glory. He had to wait upon his Father day by day, like we do, because he was a fully man. He had to wait upon God to find out what to do, and then he did it. And I sense that if Jesus needed to hang out with the Father like that, I sense that we do too. And I think that even though we're in the 21st century and our lives are hectically busy and pressurized, I think God knows that. And so I for my own life, I just believe that what we need to do every day is to hang out with God as much as possible. And you know, you can do that on the tube. You can really do that on the train. You can really just, iPods are fantastic, aren't they? You just put some praise worship music on. You can sit on the train. You can take one verse of scripture. You don't even need to take out your big flashy black Bible and hit everyone over the head with it in the carriage. But you can just hang out with God in the train. You can switch off and take one verse and say to the Holy Spirit, please make this logos word. The whole word is logos. It's the word. It's life. But a rhema word for me that's going to change my heart. Because that's what changes our lives, is the Holy Spirit illuminating a scripture, and it can change your life. And I believe that we need to be in that place, every one of us, where we're daily waiting upon God for his word for me today. You know, there's a great passage in Isaiah 50, I think it is, where it says, the Lord wakens me morning by morning. He wakens me to listen like one being taught, and he gives me a word in season for those that have need. I love that, because I believe that God wants us all to be prophetic out in the marketplace where we live, where we work, on the train, on the tube, on the buses, wherever we are, and we can have a word of life for people out there. You know, God can, I love this. I mean, you hear about these amazing people who have words of knowledge in the queue at Sainsbury's, you know. And they just happen to stand behind someone and the Lord says, oh, that person's going through a divorce right now, and just encourage them or something. I mean, imagine it. Imagine how that is going to blow people's minds when we just have a word of knowledge for them. And know, because God knows every detail of their lives. And we can just say to them, you know, God, I'm speaking to God right now and he's just given me a message for you. And we don't have to do it in a religious way. We just do it in the most liberated, joyful way, that God has a message for you right now, and he's got an answer. And I know him, and you can know him. Imagine how that's going to impact London. We're not a huge group of people here, but say there are 80 of us, living in personal revival in this way, where we're just so connected with the Holy Spirit minute by minute through the day. You know, I think God must be fed up with those of us who are very disciplined and we have our hour with God and then we put our Bible away and we leave him until the next morning. I think, you know, it would be like having a dutiful love life with your husband. You know, it would be Friday nights. This is our night. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we won't even talk to each other, you know. I think God wants a living relationship with us minute by minute, minute by minute, minute by minute, where his word is active and alive in our hearts, producing life and truth and speaking to us for the people around us, and that we just live in this place of joy and freedom. Because I think that's what the world's looking for, don't you? I mean, the people out there are desperate. They were desperate a year ago. Now they're really desperate. And we have the words of life. I mean, to me, when we're living connected with God, you know, Claire at school, she can have words of knowledge for the kids. She's working with needy kids. When you're really connected with the Holy Spirit, he can say to her one day, you know, just pray for this child. They can get healed. And the whole school can go into revival. Seriously, Joanne, where you work at the weekends, you can impact that place, change that place. Key, God's got awesome things for you to do. You know that. But you know, if you're not remaining connected in the vine every minute of the day, and that doesn't mean being highly religious. I mean, sometimes my girls get a bit irritated with me. They say, oh, Mom, you pray in tongues so much. But you know, that's my way of staying connected with the Holy Spirit. I love praying in tongues. It says in the word that it builds up the spirit, the full part. You know, every time you pray in tongues, you're building up your spirit man. It's growing on the inside. And so I love to do that. But however you choose to connect with God, we all have different ways of connecting with God. You do it your way. And, you know, it's just so exciting living with God, isn't it? You know, he's got so much creativity on the inside of you just waiting to come out. He's got songs on the inside of some of you. He's got songs that can impact the world and make you a fortune at the same time. Which would be great, wouldn't it? But he's got paintings. Ali, he's got more paintings for you. You know, so it's just remaining connected and seeing what God has for you every day. I believe that God, life in God should be such a joy, such an excitement. You know, that every day we wake up, okay, what's on your agenda for me today, God? Holy Spirit, we're going on an adventure today. I'm not going to have time to spend hours on my knees. I'm just living my life, but I want to live with you. I want to live connected with you today. And you know, there's an amazing song by Misty Edwards, which says that God calls the angels, and he says, oh, angels, look and see. There's my daughter. She's looking at me. Isn't that incredible? But I mean, he would name your name. I believe that that's what happens. That God actually loves it when we turn to him. And it's just having a poise towards God all the time, you know. Even though, like, Sue is so busy with all your stuff. But just when you've got a second. Oh, Jesus, you're here. Just experience the Holy Spirit just coming right now. You know what I mean? You can live in his presence day by day. And then we live out of his presence. We don't pray panic prayers, fearful prayers. Because when things happen, we just connect to Father immediately. Lord, what's happening right now? I've had bad news. What shall I do? And then the Holy Spirit just gives you his peace. And he says, this isn't terrible. This is going to be okay. Just pray like this. Yes? Are you hungry for a relationship with the Holy Spirit like that? He's on the inside of you. It's amazing. Are we running out of time? Are we okay? Okay. Just going back to John 15. If you continue to live at one with me and my words continue to live in you, you can ask for anything you want and it'll be given you. My Father will be glorified and honored in your lives because you will bear much fruit and so demonstrate that you're truly my disciples. We demonstrate with his disciples by the fruit. I don't know how you see the fruit. What do you think the fruit is? That's a real question as well. Anybody answers? What do you think the fruit is that God's looking for in our lives? souls. Somebody else? Somebody said something? Yes, right. The fruit of the Spirit, right. Anything else? I think that those two probably, I mean, God is really interested in souls out there, and that is fruit. But I think the fruit in our lives, also the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, just the anointing flowing out of us, just honoring the anointing in one another, because that's the other part of the thing is honoring the anointing in one another. You know, that's what Pastor Colin was speaking about last week, was honoring the anointing, honoring each other. And that isn't a false kind of, you know, superficial kind of flattery thing. It's just seeing, because you know who you are in Christ, because you know that you have this treasure on the inside of you that is so pure and beautiful and amazing, that you can love other people and honor them because of who they have on the inside of them. And that's a huge thing. And so, my Father will be glorified and honored in your lives because you will bear much fruit and so demonstrate that you're truly my disciples. I have loved you in exactly the same way that my Father loves me. Isn't that incredible? Jesus said that, says that to you today. I love you in exactly the same way that my Father loves me. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't look at us and look at our failures and think, you bad people, when will you ever get it right? That isn't the God that we serve. He's looking for fruit, but in the most loving, merciful way. His every intention towards us is good. His every intention towards us is great, to see the best come out in us. You know, it's like that tree that if we hadn't pruned that tree, it would have straggly growth. It wouldn't have any fruit, any flowers, nothing. It would be just quite ugly to look at as well. So God's intentions towards you are so good. So continue to live in my love, because God loves you like this. He says, continue to live in my love. You will remain in my love if you obey what I've commanded you, in the same way that I have remained in my Father's love by obeying what he commanded me. And we don't like this bit so much, you know, the obedience bit. But again, the only way that we can know what he wants us to do is to spend time with him and to read his word. And then he guarantees that when you remain in my Father's love, when you obey me, you will remain in my Father's love. I've told you this because I want you to have within you the same joy that is in me. Now, it says of Jesus, you know, sometimes we see him as a man of sorrows, and he was, certainly, at times in his life. But he was described as the most joyous man. His joy was greater than his companions, it says in the Psalms about Jesus. That's the joy. And he says, I've told you this because I want you to have within you the same joy that is in me. I want you to be absolutely full of my joy. Isn't that great? Don't we need to be kind of exuding that joy in this grotty, despairing world we live in? Yes? And it only comes from within when you are plugged into the vine. So why don't we all just stand up? My girl said keep it short, so I've been very kind. But let's just plug into God right now. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to come and do something really special this morning. Father, I'm asking you to come and to release within us, Lord God, such an awakening of love in our hearts for you. Jesus, there's some amongst us who've got tired and weary in well-doing. There's some amongst us who were more passionate a year ago. There's some amongst us who are just feeling maybe a bit bored with this whole Christian life. And Holy Spirit, you know every one of us. You know the hairs on our head. You know every detail about us. You know when we rise up in the morning. You know when we go to bed at night. You know the thoughts in our hearts. You know everything about us. And God, you know the plans that you have for us as well. And I believe that right now the Holy Spirit's saying, come on, guys, come on. Rise up, rise up, rise up and take your inheritance, take your destiny. Stop this kind of wishy-washy stuff. You know, Lord, we just come against, right now, we come against spirits of apathy and sleepiness and sluggishness in the kingdom of God and passivity. We come against that. That is a spirit in London. We come against that in the name of Jesus. Ho, rabashide, rabasidide, ye. Ho, rabashende. Just pray in tongues right now. Pray out loud in tongues. Shende, rabasidide, ye. He, darabashe, karabasanto, she. Harabasidide, ye. Darabashe. Heldabasanto, rarabashe. He. Ho, rabashide, basidide, ye. Darabashe. Ho, rabashide, rabasidide, ye. Hadarabasiki, arobashe. Shendaye, Halirabasidiye, Darabashe, Kiarorabaso. Oh, feel the Spirit rise up on the inside of you right now. Just give Him space. Give this Holy Spirit space in your life right now. Oh, Karabashe, Hadabasanto, She, Oh, Rabashidiye. Oh, Jesus, we exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you in this place. Head of a seed in the air. Oh, Roboshid of a seed in the air of a shandai. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and just awaken love again. The Ruach of God is going to move amongst us. The Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, the Ruach of God. Oh. Oh, shenda ba si didi ye da ta raba shen. Just yield. Yield your lives right now. Yield to the Holy Spirit within you. Yield. Yield. Holy Spirit, we just yield our minds to you right now. Just say it. Just speak to God. Speak to God. Don't be silent right now. Just speak to God. Speak to the Spirit within you and just release yourself to Him. Give Him your mind. Give Him your soul so that He's in control. The Holy Spirit's in control of your soul. He's in control of your mind. He's in control of your emotions. He's in control of your will. Just give them to Him. Yield yourself to Him right now. Yield yourself right to Him right now. Oh, Rabba Shide Rabba Sidi Diye. Oh, Rabba Shide Didi Yera Tada Rabba Yendo. Shide Dibi Yera Tada Rabba Santo. Oh, Rabba Shide Didi Yera Tada Rabba She. Ko rabashe rabasanto she darabiye dorariye ho roboshi didibiye darabasanto debiye darabashe ko roboshi didibiye ratadidiye dororobashe darabasanko oh hallelujah hallelujah ko 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 roboshi didibiye darararaye oh And I believe that there are some people here who just really need to do business with God right now. You just know that God's got a call on your life and you've been avoiding it. You've actually been feeling, I'm young now, I don't want to do this. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. And God's just saying, I have got the best plan for your life. The best. If you truly yield yourself to me, truly yield yourself to me. Truly yield yourself to me. Truly become passionate about Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can stir that passion in our hearts. You're the only one who can stir that up, God. Oh, God, you hate lukewarm. You hate lukewarm. You hate lukewarm. Jesus said that He would spit us out of His mouth if we lukewarm. God, we also hate lukewarm in this church, don't we? We hate lukewarm. God, we ask you to come now with a fire and just start to make us hot again, God. Give us a passion. Give us a passion. Give us a hunger for your kingdom, God. Give us a love for you like we've never had before. Oh, Rabashi Didiviye, Tatarara Yeto Robaso. Oh, Rabashi Didiviye, Tadarabasi Didiviye, Tadarabashe, Rabaso, Rabashenda. Sidi Didiviye, Tadarabashendo. Kora rabashi de rabasi kiro rabashi de.